So I want to also ask you where we're heading, and there's so many things happening in CLL, and there was just a big press release that came out about a new trial. We haven't seen the data yet, but it's a phase 3 trial, the ELEVATE-TN trial, that's looking at acalabrutinib, the other BTK inhibitor now approved in mantle cell, here combined with obinutuzumab. Let's, first of all, maybe we can get into one of your patients here, this 59-year-old man, who actually was initially diagnosed in 2004, and he has a very interesting clinical history also. So maybe as a prelude to sort of getting into this issue of other BTK inhibitors, we can hear about this patient.
Sure. So this is a 59-year-old gentleman who I've been following since 2004. He initially presented with cytopenias and was diagnosed with ITP and concurrently diagnosed with his chronic lymphocytic leukemia at that time. Now, his characterization of his CLL revealed that he had 11q deletion and he had an unmutated V gene. And at the time, he needed treatment for his ITP, not so much for his CLL. So he received rituximab, and that was the management for his ITP at the time. He actually received prednisone and then rituximab and received a total of 8 weekly doses of rituximab. And he had a fair duration of control of his ITP, but his CLL subsequently progressed and he needed treatment. He got 2 cycles of FCR as his first treatment. Now, we know patients who have 11q deletion are very sensitive to alkylator agent-based therapy. They do very well with chemotherapy. They tend to go in remission. Their disease tends to relapse, though, and they need to be treated repeatedly. If we're talking about chemoimmunotherapy-based treatment, their overall survival is, believe it or not, similar to the other groups except for the 17p deletion, but they just tend to receive more treatment. So he did well with a couple cycles of FCR. He, in fact, went into a remission early, and his treatment was discontinued early, and he was monitored, and subsequently, a few years later, had recurrent ITP. For him, his disease activity, his CLL activity, sort of correlated with his ITP activity. When his CLL started to become active again, his ITP would flare. So he had a flare in his ITP and again got rituximab and ended up being refractory to CD20 antibody therapy and got a splenectomy. And then his CLL progressed subsequently and he needed more treatment for his CLL. He went on a clinical trial with lenalidomide and ofatumumab, and he received lenalidomide and ofatumumab on trial for several years, I think 3 years, 2 or 3 years. And then subsequently his ITP flared again, probably because he was becoming resistant. And he received more chemoimmunotherapy at that point. And that was in 2011. He received 6 cycles of FCR, which was retreatment. He went in remission, but his remission was not a durable remission. It was about a year or so. When he relapsed, he was treated on the initial phase 1 clinical trial with venetoclax. So about a year after his FCR, he received venetoclax on a clinical trial, and he was on venetoclax for about 4 years with good disease control, and that was up till about 2017. His disease eventually became resistant to venetoclax therapy. That was venetoclax monotherapy at the time. And upon progression, he was placed on BTK inhibitor-based therapy. And he's an example of a patient who's not a common patient these days. We've had ibrutinib available for a long time. So most patients, if they receive serial treatments, will receive ibrutinib first, followed by venetoclax. But he's an example of a patient, because he went on a clinical trial, who received venetoclax-based therapy first, and then BTK inhibitor-based therapy with ibrutinib. He went on ibrutinib monotherapy, not on a clinical trial, and he was on it for a while and had a nice response, not a complete response, but had a nice response and started having arthralgias and myalgias, which we do see with ibrutinib. And sometimes we can dose adjust and reduce the dose and get patients on continued treatment and work through those symptoms. And other times we can get down to a low dose and they still have these symptoms and problems, fatigue, arthralgias, myalgias, and we're forced to either stop the treatment because the patient can't really tolerate it long-term or consider an alternative treatment.